Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Roving with the Arts here on KSJE in Farmington, New Mexico, your cultural beacon for the Four Corners. My name is Mick Hess, and today is my program that I call Local Favorites. And my guest today is Charlie Decker. Charlie and I go way back over the years, but the reason he's a local favorite is that he has been here a couple of times and played with the Kisma Brass Band as a soloist, and also he's done some clinics for the group called the Trumpet Geezers. So, Charlie has a wonderful background, and we'll talk a little about that as we get into the program. Charlie's a retired professor of trumpet and music at Tennessee Tech University in Cookeville, Tennessee. So let's welcome Charlie Decker to the program. He's visited me several times, and now we're getting a chance to do this electronically. Welcome, Charlie, and we're so glad that you could do this with me on the Local Favorite program that I have. And as I mentioned earlier, you've been out here a couple of times, and I was hoping that you could tell the audience a little bit about your background as a trumpet player and as a professor of trumpet, a couple of different places in the country, as I remember.
Yeah, well, first of all, it's great to be talking with you. It's nice to be back in Farmington in a way after being there twice, like maybe three times, and being with you and Julie and all your friends. But it's nice to be back electronically, so to speak. Well, my background is, in a way, very similar to yours. I grew up in upstate New York. I took private lessons. We both were in small towns, you in western New York State, and I in the middle part of upstate New York. Played grade school bands, took lessons from junior high school and high school, ended up as classmates at Eastman. Interestingly enough, both of us then did military band work, and then interestingly enough, both of us went on professional work, including orchestral work, and then interestingly enough, we both became teachers and performers, so we have very similar backgrounds, and I really should add, I understand you bought a blue sports car, but only after I...
That's true. You did have a blue one, didn't you? Do you still have it?
I still have it. It's a beautiful car. I love it. And that I inspired you, Mick.
Maybe we could meet halfway someday, you know?
It'd be great. Well, basically, one of the things I liked about college teaching, as opposed to just playing full-time, was it was more of a mental challenge to me to how could I help younger musicians move forward and learn more about music and literature and how to play the instrument and psychological aspects, not only for myself, but how to pass it on to other people. And the other thing that was very interesting about collegiate life is you're in a building with a hall, and if you have a large enough faculty, you can pretty much do anything you want without having to leave the building. So opportunity to play with piano, organ, orchestra, band, brass quintet, chamber music, you name it, and it was great. Didn't have to leave the building. And this first example that you were going to use is from a collection of music that was done originally for Maurice André, the great French virtuoso on trumpet. And this is a little Baroque piece arranged specifically for him and his forte, which was the piccolo trumpet. It's called Sonata al Post Communio, which is done with organ and trumpet. And he had dozens of these things. He recorded hundreds of albums in. But we, as lesser Maurice André's, tried to.
Right? Well, let's take a listen to this first piece that you've chosen. We just heard my guest, Charlie Decker, playing a Baroque trumpet solo piece by Martini. And those of us who've come a ways in trumpet playing have all tried our hand at piccolo trumpet playing, and probably inspired by, as Charlie mentioned, a famous French trumpet virtuoso, Maurice André. So, Charlie, what is there anything special about this piece that captivates your imagination?
Well, this next piece, this double concerto in E flat for trumpet and oboe by Johann Hertel, is a little bit unusual in that typically Baroque music is in C or D for the trumpet, but this was in E flat, which didn't make the string players in the orchestra too happy. They all hate playing in E flat or any flat keys, as we know. But this is also an example of what I was mentioning before. One reason why I enjoyed my work so much is that I didn't have to leave the building, because we have in place, due to full-time wind faculty and percussion faculty, an orchestra that does 7 programs a year, basically one every 3 or 4 weeks. And I don't have to leave the building. I just go into the auditorium to play with them. It's what people call a reading orchestra, because we, the whole orchestra with strings, which are basically the strings players from the Nashville Symphony, who come over, they're about 80 miles away, they come over and play with the group to make it an orchestra instead of just a bunch of wind players. And we rehearse in the morning, you break, you have a short lunch, you come back, rehearse another hour, and then in 45 minutes you have to do a concert. So it's you're lucky if you get to play through the pieces twice, usually you get just once, but it's a good example, you got to pay attention. And every once in a while, they give our faculty an opportunity to do some solo work in front of the group. Most of the time, they're out-of-town significant soloists who are established around the country. So this is the third movement of this Hertel double concerto in E-flat, using a piccolo trumpet, and just interesting how our careers intertwine. You worked with Ed Tarr. The piccolo trumpet that I'm playing on this piece, which is a Selmer trumpet, I bought from Ed Tarr.
You know, the trumpet world is really quite small when you think about it. I hear so many different people that I've heard of, and you know, there's connections it's really kind of fun for us as we get into the twilight. Speaking of our twilight years, Charlie, how long did you play the trumpet?
Well, I started getting paid to play trumpet in Rochester when I was 18, 19, and I retired when I was 70. So from then to 70, I was being paid by somebody to play trumpet as a performer, and then as an equal amount once I got into the college teaching way back in 1973, that it was a combination of teaching and playing, and pretty much a balance of the two, which I enjoyed.
Great, yeah. Well, let's listen to the Hertel. The oboe player, you said, was on the faculty of Tennessee Tech?
Yeah, we have full-time specialists on all the wind instruments.
Cool. Let's hear Hertel. Thank you. Just heard my guest today, Charlie Decker, playing a double concerto for a trumpet and oboe by Hertel, along with the Nashville Symphony strings in Cookeville, Tennessee. I guess that's where the recording took place. Is that right, Charlie?
That's right. It's in the hall for our auditorium. The string players come over to our half dozen concerts, Sunday afternoon concerts a year.
Right. The name of this program is Local Favorites, and the gist of the program idea is to get these people, these favorite musicians, to tell us a little bit about their favorite music and how some of it got to be important to them. Up next is a war horse of the trumpet literature, wouldn't you say, Charlie?
Oh, definitely. This is this after the Haydn Concerto is probably more played than even the Hummel Concerto.
This is by a Russian composer, Kachaturian. Am I right? No, Aryatunian. Excuse me, Aryatunian. But the guy who made this piece famous was a Russian virtuoso trumpet player. Can you tell a little bit of the background of that?
Yeah, well, this piece dates back to 1949. A man who was one of the hottest names in trumpet legit playing was a guy by the name of Timothy Dachschitzer. And he played with the Bolshoi Ballet and was well known in Russia for many years. And then about 1960, he broke loose because the principal trumpet in the Cleveland Orchestra, a guy by the name of Louis Davidson, discovered him and brought the world to him, or brought him to the world with recordings and then touring in the United States. And his favorite piece, that is Timothy Dachschitzer's favorite piece to play, was the Aryatunian Trumpet Concerto. It was like his theme song.
Yeah.
Interesting enough, I had one of his friends from the Soviet Union, back when it was the Soviet Union, visiting here at Tennessee Tech as a guest artist. And I asked him, I said, Anatoly, I said, how many times do you think Dr. played the Aryatunian? He said, oh, about 300. And then he goes, no, 400. No, what? His theme song. It's a great piece, and this that we did, here's the first half of it. It gets sort of repetitious after a while, so I just gave you the first half.
And which group are you playing with in this?
This was done with the what we call the symphonic band here at Tennessee Tech, and it was a live performance, and we all know as people stand in front of a group, the younger the group, the harder it is to sort of play because they don't realize, they haven't learned yet that you're just an accompanimental group.
Yeah, right.
But they overall did a pretty good job. There were a couple times when they got a little excited, but it's an exciting piece, and the balance worked out fairly well.
Great. Let's take a listen.
¶¶
We just heard my guest, Charlie Decker, playing with the Tennessee Tech University College Band, a great piece by a Russian composer, the Aratunian. We call it simply the Aratunian Concerto. And it's a mighty work, and it requires great technique, great endurance, and a beautiful sound. And Charlie does all three of those things in a great performance. One of the things that I found out about Charlie over the years is we hadn't seen each other a lot, but we knew each other, and we stayed in touch all the time that I lived in Norway and when I came back to this country. And I found out that Charlie was a wonderful arranger of brass music, of course, which begs the question, have you arranged for anything other than brass, Charlie?
Actually, it's interesting you asked that because I've done a couple pieces for Woodwind Quintet. Because there's a faculty woodwind quintet here at Tennessee Tech, and I listened to dozens and dozens of their concerts. So I thought, well, if I could do it for brass, I'd do it for woodwinds. So I did a couple for them, but 98% of what I've done was for brass because that's what I knew best. And
right. Well, that brings up one of the questions I've asked everybody on the show is what their second favorite instrument is. So.
Asked me that, and I said trombone. I think it's a great instrument, but I'm glad I didn't play it.
Well, the thing is, the advantage those guys have is they only have one. And trumpet players all over the world that I know have we have so many instruments, to say nothing about mouthpieces. But most trombone players I know, they have one, and they're very happy with it.
Yeah, that's right.
So they don't have to carry one to the gig, you know? So, as I mentioned, you're really well known for all these brass arrangements. So we're going to get into that portion of the program now. What's this first one that we're going to hear?
Well, the first one is a brass quintet arrangement of Leonard Bernstein's Simple Song from his Mass that he wrote in 1971. For the opening of the Kennedy Arts Center in Washington, D.C. And I always loved this song. I mean, it's a great title. It's a simple song. The Mass itself is a beautiful piece of music. It was rather controversial when it was presented, but has turned out to be a very important contribution to the world of music. It's somewhere between an opera and a musical and a oratorio. But I always loved Simple Song. I played it a lot with piano, with organ. So I thought, well, let me make a brass quintet scoring of it. My arrangement isn't so much I've changed the notes. I simply rescored it for brass quintet. And of course, because I did that, I earned the right to play the solo part.
Of course. So this is the brass quintet of the university, is that correct?
Right, it's our faculty brass quintet, and one nice thing about the group is over the years, we as the group, and they still do, had decided they don't want to play all stock charts. So half of what they play is stock charts, and the other half is music created for them, either by themselves within the group or friends of them in the group. So they were always receptive to people bringing in stuff. Hey, let's try this piece. And we tried it and it worked.
Yeah, great. Let's take a listen. We just heard an arrangement by Charlie Decker of Leonard Bernstein's simple song from his Mass. And Charlie, I don't know, how many pieces do you think you've arranged over the years, Charlie?
Well, I won't say arranged so much as I've basically rescored. I've done some original composing, but probably less than 10 pieces, but close to 100 pieces for brass and trumpet.
Right, right. Well, we're going to change gears a little bit here and play a piece of music that I think my first introduction to this was with Maynard Ferguson Does that sound right? Didn't he do a...
yes, but I didn't attempt to try his version.
Well, that's because you're smart. You know, one thing about we all have our strengths and we also have our weaknesses when it comes to the trumpet, and you can't play like everybody. You know, and that's something I've learned over the years. You find your own niche and you go with that the best you can. But what is it about this piece that is so attractive to you?
Well, actually, this was when I first got the Tech back in 1980. One, a couple months later, the then band director says, look, I got a hold of this arrangement that was done for Clark Terry of the Jimmy Webb MacArthur Park, which turned out to be a real classic, so to speak. And he said, do you want to do it? And of course, man, I was the fact, am I going to say no? Yes. So he hands me the part, and it's just a bunch of chords with the occasional melody written in. Because Clark Terry was such a great jazz musician. So I didn't know what to do with it. So I thought, I'll pretend to be a little bit of Doc Severinsen. So I wrote out what I call filler licks. The band plays a melody, comes to a cadence or a chord, and then I filled some things out there and just tried to make it sound a little bit like Doc Severinsen. The problem with this piece was the band was so excited to play it, you had to really blow to be heard over the band. And you'll hear the recording a couple times, you're going, is the guy playing? I just had fun doing this thing. And
well, we'll have fun listening to it too. Here we go with MacArthur Park.
Thank you.
Charlie, all I can say is better you than me on MacArthur Park. What trumpet were you playing on that?
I was just using my, back then I had a Bach B-flat.
B-flat?
I used the sort of a cheater mouthpiece on that, but it was a bit smaller than what I normally used.
You know, so many over these years people ask you about things like mouthpieces and trumpets, and I finally come to the conclusion that you use whatever makes the job easiest. And sometimes I tell some of the younger students or players, you know, if you look at a golf bag, you know, guys, professional golfers, they've got 15 clubs in there, and they use the club that's the best one for the particular shot that's coming up, you know.
And that's a great comparison. That's good.
And so if you use a different mouthpiece because you got a whole lot of high notes, if you use a big mouth because you got either low notes or you want this big fat sound, why not use them? I mean, we've got them all in our bag.
That's true.
So, you sounded great on MacArthur Park. What a dynamite piece that is. How long did you have to work that up?
I don't remember. As I say, one relatively easy thing for me as a soloist was I didn't play long phrases. The band played the phrase. I played the cadence, you know, through scale things.
Right.
But and then the other thing, it was just a all-out blow. You weren't so much about style or anything. You just went, band.
As I remember the Maynard Ferguson version, I think he took up those phrases up at least one more octave, you know.
Oh yeah.
Well, we're talking to Charlie Decker here, a favorite of mine in many, many ways. The fact that we stayed friends for so many years, that's a favorite part of it, and that we actually got together in person. By him coming out here, I have some great pictures of that trip you made out here with me, Charlie. We went out to Monument Valley, and you remember you were on a horse a couple of times. You had some stock photos of you.
Where John Wayne was photographed.
That's right. That was
I got to tell you a funny story about that. I got on the horse and had my picture taken with the horse, and you were laughing away as taking my picture. So I said to the guy, there's this tired looking horse, looks like it's going to die any minute. I said, how long has this horse been here? He says, oh, 23 years. This is what he does. The poor horse is kill me now.
Oh man,
great trip. I love being
there. We had some great times together, that's for sure. I'm sorry that you never came to Norway to visit us when we lived there and would have a chance to see the kind of work I was doing. It was a great time. Well,
yeah.
this next piece, this is Christmas in May. We've heard of people celebrating in July, but we're pushing it. We're a little bit ahead of the curve here. Charlie did this great arrangement of "Twas the Night Before Christmas" with narrator. And how did this all come about, Charlie? What they need? Did you? Was it your idea, or did somebody say, "Hey, we need "Twas the Night Before Christmas"?
Well, on this, I'm going to claim composer status. This sort of came about. We did like a lot of brass quintets, you do a holiday Christmas program every year, which usually is very well attended wherever you are because most people like Christmas music. And in the shows, we would always include a narrated piece with brass quintet. So I said, well, why don't we do the 'Twas Night Before Christmas, and we'll just order a copy of this for brass quintet and narrator. So I went looking, and I believe it or not, at the time, I couldn't find one. I mean, this thing has been arranged for every ensemble you can think of, orchestra, band, choir, woodwinds, but they didn't have one for brass quintet. So I said, well, I'll do one. So I did this, and it's a good example of not being a real composer, but I knew enough how to write some effects. So, and So I basically put a bunch of some familiar melodies in there with a bunch of effects, and it was sort of fun. We enjoyed doing it and used it quite a bit.
Well, tell me, as an arranger or transcriber, what you like to call yourself when in this part of the business, did you sell a lot of copies of this over the years?
Well, this is I have a series of pieces with Kendor Music, which is, again, a New York State thing. Actually, they're just down the street, so to speak, from where you grew up. And they've carried my stuff for well over 30 years. This was something that I gave them half a dozen years ago. Have I gotten rich off this thing? No. I've sold enough copies. It was worth the effort.
That's great. All right, let's hear 'Twas the Night Before Christmas in the Month of May.
'Twas the Night Before Christmas. It was the night before Christmas when all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. The children were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. Mama in her kerchief and I in my cap had just settled down for a long winter's nap. When out on the lawn there arose such a clatter, I sprang from my bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutter, and threw up the sash. The moon on the breast of the new fallen snow gave the luster of midday to the objects below. When what to my wondering eyes did appear but a miniature sleigh with 8 tiny reindeer. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. With a little old driver so lively and quick, I knew in a moment it must be Saint Nick. More rapid than eagles, his coursers they came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name. Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donner and Blitzen. To the top of the porch, to the top of the wall, now dash away, dash away, dash away all. As dry leaves that before the wild hurricane fly, so up to the housetop the coursers they flew. When they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky. With a sleigh full of toys, and St. Nicholas too. And then in a twinkling I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof. As I drew in my head and was turning around, Down the chimney St. Nicholas came with a bound. He was dressed all in fur from his head to his foot, and his clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot. A bundle of toys he had flung on his back, and he looked like a peddler just opening his pack. His eyes, how they twinkled! His dimples, how merry! His cheeks were like roses, his nose like a cherry. His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow, and the beard of his chin was white as the snow. The stump of his pipe he held tight in his teeth, and the smoke, it encircled his head like a wreath. He had a broad face and a little round belly that shook when he laughed, like a bowl full of jelly. He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf, and I laughed when I saw him in spite of myself. A wink of his eye and a twist of his head soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work and filled all the stockings, then turned with a jerk. And laying his finger aside of his nose and giving a nod, up the chimney he rose. He sprang to his sleigh, to his team gave whistle, and away they all flew like the down of a thistle. But I heard him exclaim as he drove out of sight, "Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night."
We just heard Charlie Decter's arrangement for brass quintet and narrator of "Twas the Night Before Christmas." And, you know, I'm going to do that someday. I'm still playing, and I still have a great group here. Maybe we'll have you come out and be the narrator. That would be really cool.
Well, at the very least, I'll send you a free copy.
Okay. Well, we're not toward the end of the program. It's about an hour. We have maybe 20 minutes left, and we have some great music to listen to. You're listening to KSJE here in Farmington, New Mexico, your cultural beacon for the Four Corners. And today's program features a great friend of mine, Charlie Decter, as one of our local favorites in the sense that he's been here two or three times, and people remember him. Up next is a piece, rather famous piece for piano. It's the Ravel Piano Concerto, but has a great trumpet part. And this is you with, is this the same group that we heard earlier, Charlie?
Yeah, this is what we call the Bryan Symphony at Tennessee Tech, and it's our wind faculty, which are full-time pros and all good, and then the Nashville Symphony string section. And as I said, I did 7 concerts a year. It's a reading orchestra. You read in the morning, you read in the afternoon, then at 3 o'clock on that Sunday, you do the performance. This is an example of bringing in a guest soloist on the Ravel Piano Concerto in G. Ravel always writes great trumpet parts. It's rare you don't get a good one. And this one is fun to play. If you're a trumpet player, it keeps you on your toes. And if you screw up, everybody's going to know it.
Here we go.
Thank you.
Ravel's Piano Concerto that also features the trumpet very prominently in the first and the third movement, especially. Great stuff. Charlie nailed it once again. It's great to hear you playing like this, Charlie. I must say I'm thrilled to have a chance to hear these live, especially these live recordings. Everybody can do a canned one, you know. It's when it's live that's really...
It's interesting. To some extent, if you've got relaxed recording situations, there's almost less pressure because you know you can go back and do it again as opposed to live performances. That is if it's relaxed. If you're working in New York City and you're in a studio, it's not relaxed.
Well, we're definitely getting toward the end of the show now. We have two more pieces to play for you. And we're going to hear, which one is first, Charlie, the Candide or the John Williams?
Well, why don't we do the Candide first? The people will be familiar with Simon the Heroes, and I think they might enjoy the version we have. The first one is Candide Overture by Leonard Bernstein. Long story short, over the years developed a national trumpet competition. It originally started off in being held at George University in D.C. and or Arlington, and we went there. You had to submit, you know, audition recordings, etc. We went there, and over the years we won four or five different prizes. But they have a trumpet ensemble division in addition to solos. For all level of students from junior high school through graduate school. But the college division for trumpet ensembles, the guys were playing challenging stuff. So one year we got to the semifinals using this piece, Candide Overture, which I transcribed for trumpets because I thought, well, we need a familiar piece. We need something that's going to be impressive, and let's do it.
Let's hear it.
Thank you.
Overture to Candide, arranged by Charlie Decker, my guest today on Local Favorites. We have one final piece, a big blockbuster piece as well. Charlie will tell us what it is. And I want to thank you for taking all your time here, Charlie, to do the program with me. And it's been great for me. So tell us what we're going to hear finally.
Well, first of all, it's been it's always great talking to you and getting close to your hometown now. But I thought the people might enjoy hearing a familiar tune. This is John Williams' Summon the Heroes, that we've heard many times. This is an arrangement done by a former Tennessee Tech trumpet major. We added three trombones and tuba to 15 trumpet players playing piccolo, E-flat, Cs, B-flat, and flugelhorns, and we just had fun, and I hope your audience has enjoyed this show. I've certainly enjoyed talking with you, Mick. It's great to be together again.
Let's go out with John Williams. You've been listening to KSJE here in Farmington, New Mexico, your cultural beacon for the Four Corners. My name is Mick Hess, and we've been roving with the arts.
Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.